Hey kids, I'm feeling in a bit of a random thought mood today, so bear with me. I got some questions. How does anyone with any common sense not understand that Cheney thinks he is above the law by not allowing the local sheriff to take an accident report until 14 hours after the fact? Aside from Cheney himself admitting he had a beer at lunch, on top of all the heart medication he's on, and not to mention hunters of any experience or brain cells, do not imbibe until after the hunt, and most likely you shouldn't be hunting on heart medication, much less mixing it with alcohol and firearms, how does number 8 birdshot pierce hunting gear one would wear in the afternoon on a winter day in Texas when the temps are in the 60s? How does anyone with any common sense not understand that by granting the UAE, who have control over a large percentage of the world's ports already, even more control over even more ports, this time a large number of the biggest and busiest American ports, that it would be an invitation to disaster on multiple levels? Aside from their funding and harboring terrorists who want everyone in the West dead, the simple fact that the same company would have control of not only what goes into a container in one port, but would also have control over what comes out of that same container in another port, would clear a path for said company to smuggle absolutely anything it wanted with zero oversight. Forget about WMDs for a second. Let's just keep it simple. What about guns, or, say, drugs, or how about people? What about getting past paying import-export taxes? They control the port. They will control the workers and security no matter what anyone tells you. Port control is just that. Control. How does anyone with any common sense not understand that one of the main reasons the Iraqis are so pissed off is that foreigners are rebuilding their country and making fortunes from Halliburton doing it, while they are mostly unemployed with no way to provide for their families other than risking their lives by taking the only jobs open, which happen to be bomb targets, by getting trained as police? How does anyone with any common sense not understand that one of the main reasons Gulf Coast locals are pissed off is that foreigners are rebuilding their cities under no-bid contracts from Halliburton, while they are all jobless, homeless, and without any means of income because our own government refuses to hire U.S. workers to rebuild their own cities? Of all the sins of this administration, to me, aside from stealing elections, New Orleans has been the biggest. It's Mardi Gras, people, and they've allowed the city that is the soul of America to drown. I know there's a lot of fear that New Orleans will be left to rot and die and never return. I also know there's not much I can do here in L.A. with barely two nickels to rub together. But what I can do is get out my beads and put them on. I can stand with New Orleans in the little way that I can. I can celebrate the spirit of Mardi Gras in my own personal little way, even if it is a distant kind of solidarity. I can take a stand that I don't want one of the greatest American cities to ever die, and that, the universe willing, I will have enough money someday, maybe even next year, to go back and visit her again, to walk down Bourbon Street, hear the great music, smell the world's best cuisine, eat some gumbo, drink some hurricanes, and get whistled at by old Cajun men. Yes, please. Happy Mardi Gras, people. That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme. I would die for you.
Sure. they're overwhelmed. It seems like it's more efficient.
Understood, but they're the ones who can provide additional information if there is any to provide. Go ahead, Todd.
Scott, you said Ms. Armstrong was the eyewitness. There were other eyewitnesses. Can you tell us who they were? And
well, I mean, the vice president's team was with him. You ought to check that with the vice president's office. But the vice president's traveling team was with him, so you'd have your normal security detail, as well as military aid and others, and doctor.
Scotty, I think what they're asking is who were the hot babes in their 60s and 70s that were inappropriately with the president and some dude out in the woods? I'm a married man, and Mrs. Bart trusts me, but if I told her, me and Tommy Mack are going to pick up a couple of ladies in their 60s and go out in the woods today and drink some beer, I don't know that she'd go for that. But notice when they ask Scotty, who else was with the vice president? The usual travel team. No, Scotty, that's not what they meant. If the usual travel team, Secret Service, the medical people, and the military people, if they weren't with him, that would be a big, big story, probably a bigger story than this. So that's not the question, Scotty. The question is, who were the other witnesses? And you won't give us the names because you're afraid the press is going to go out and find those people and say, how drunk was that son of a bitch? Plus, remember how many times they've been caught lying. The underbear keeps saying, well, go ask that Armstrong lady. But one of the first things that Armstrong lady said was there was no alcohol, none, zip, zero, nada, the whole day, not a drop. That's a fact. I'm a witness. And then later, Cheney tells Britt Hume, well, sure, there was a little beer at lunch, but, oh, this was hours after. And maybe the funniest part of this new spokeswoman business is when she gets caught lying or when she gets caught shaving the facts or intentionally leaving things out that are important, it's so easy for the White House to say, well, she's not an official spokesperson. She's some lady that we met. They want it both ways. Talk to Armstrong if you want the facts. Well, she's lying to us. Why are you lying to us? That's not us. That's her. That's some lady we met. Don't look at me. This is some lady whose land we were on.
Who's the third hunter that's got?
Check with his office. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Interesting dodge, Mr. Underbear. Because there was no third hunter. There was a third huntress and a fourth huntress. But no third hunter. Very interesting, Scotty said. Oh, I don't know. You'd have to check with anybody but me. I ain't going to be the one that says Cheney was on some double date. No, sirree, Bob. Don't look to me for that.
Can I follow
Peter?
On
that? Scott, when you consider the chronology that you tried to go through here and all of the various wrinkles of how long it took for the primary information that the vice president was the person who shot this fellow to get through to the president himself, is there any notion here of reviewing your own communications apparatus? I mean, this is sort of reminiscent of the Levy story, frankly, you know?
I'm sorry. I reject that. I disagree with that fully, Peter. I don't know what you're referring to there, but I reject the insinuation there.
Well, when you look at how long it took for the information in that case to get through and the information in this case to get through, are you looking
Peter,
at...
Peter, there are certain facts that you don't know necessarily immediately that people are getting that information together in terms of exactly what happened.
Scotty, I think you might have stumbled into a good point that works against you. Can you imagine getting a phone call from the people of New Orleans and they didn't mention the flood? Can you imagine that? No, I can't imagine that. Can you imagine that, Underbear? I bet you can. Oh, we're in New Orleans and there's a lot of wind and some houses fell down and the streets are deserted and that's pretty much it. I can't think of anything else to... No, that's pretty much the whole story. I can't imagine anybody. Oh, the water. Yes, the flooding. Yeah, oh, right. There is some flooding, too. They're trying to spin this, and they just can't. It's got to be driving them nuts. All this information came in, and nobody thought to mention that Cheney was the shooter. Like in New Orleans, nobody would bother to mention there was a little bit of water.
I mean, I don't think you immediately know all the facts and situations that you bring up, and particularly in terms of a hurricane that was unprecedented in terms of the scope of the damage that occurred. So I don't know how you can leap from here to that comparison.
Surely they immediately knew that the vice president of the United States shot someone.
And you know what the immediate response was? To make sure he was getting the medical care.
You know, I guess we should almost give Scotty some points for sticking with the dead dog. I mean, here the flies are on it. The maggots are on it. You know, the poor dog, he's been in and out of rigor. The tissue started to break down. You know, the fluid is oozed out, and the dog now, as he lays there, is like an inch high because it's been so long. But Scotty is sticking with that dead dog. You poor bastard. Scotty, what'd they do after they brought him to the hospital? Well, their first concern was getting the man to the hospital. No, Scotty, after that. Well, their first concern was getting the man to... No, Scotty, after that. Well, no, their first... No, after!
Well, no, no, you may know that, but people that are listening... But people that are listening need to hear that, too. The vice president went over to him and was making sure that his team was getting to him and taking care of him. That's what the first priority always ought to be. Now, I know that it's important to inform the media, and I've told you. I believe it's important to get that information out as quickly as possible. Well, I think he was informed in it. I think he was informed in a relatively reasonable amount of time.
But, Scotty, the obvious fact that you refuse to acknowledge is that after the man was attended to, then why didn't they call the White House? And every time they ask you that question, you default back to your C prompt, which is, it's important to take care of the man. Guess what, Scotty? Your default is broke. You're unable to answer the questions. You are defective, Scotty. You need to be taken into the shop. You are broke.
Scott, under Texas law, is this kind of accidental shooting a possible criminal offense?
I wouldn't even speculate on that, but I think the sheriff's office or the local law enforcement office has already commented on that and said it was a hunting accident. So,
you know, speaking of that, as you might expect, the Texas police are doing everything they can, way, way out of their way, leaps and bounds, doing everything they can to protect Cheney. I saw this in the paper, and I don't have it because it's a newspaper and I can't run it through the microphone. But one of the Texas sheriffs said, we got a call 10 minutes after the shooting. And you can't possibly say that. You can't do it. You remember a while back that friend of Sam's was killed in downtown Tulsa, and the reporter explained how the dead man attacked him from behind and snuck up on him. You know, I'm thinking, dude, you're the reporter. If you were there, then file a police report. If you weren't there, then you must say the defendant claimed this happened. You don't get to say this happened unless you were there. Similarly, when the sheriff says, we got a call 10 minutes after the shooting, you can't say that. You can say you got a call at 5:40, but you can't say you got a call 10 minutes after the shooting. You just can't do that. But they're throwing logic to the wind. They're throwing any kind of due process or factual law applications, whatever. They're just throwing that all up in the air. They're saying, hey, protect Cheney, number one. Now, number two, however we can work that into a legal situation, do your best. But number one, protect Cheney. Number two, try to sell it to the public.
If the deputy chief of staff told him sometime after that 8 o'clock hour, told the president that it was Cheney that pulled the trigger, who made the decision not to inform us and specifically not to inform you until that 6 o'clock hour the next morning?
I don't think that's the way I would look at it. I think there's additional details that were coming in, and that's what we were trying to learn.
Well, you see, now he's been caught. A while ago, he said that Andy Card found out around 8 and that Rove told the president about 9. And they're saying, okay, so if the president knew, if Karl Rove and the president knew at 9, why did you not find out until 10 hours after that? You're the spokesman for the government, and they withheld that from you for 10 hours. Why is that, Scotty? Well, we're trying to get all the information together, because you know what's really bad is when the information comes out is wrong, because you know how clear we are and how precise we are and how we're always right and don't make mistakes. So that's why we wanted to wait hours and hours and hours and hours and hours later, the day that the vice president was the shooter. It don't fly, Scotty.
Well, we were trying to learn what the details were. I think it's important to have the facts together to be able to provide that information to the public. I also believe in a situation like this, it's important to provide as much information as public as quickly as to the public as quickly as possible.
We agree, Scotty. And for the 10th time, the question is, why didn't you do that? Every time they ask you, why didn't you tell us, you say, because it's important that you find out right away. Fine, so why didn't you tell us? Because it's important that you find out right away.
All right, let's go to new subject. Go ahead.
Okay. Was there any consideration to your knowledge that the information should be delayed in order to avoid it becoming red meat on the Sunday talk shows?
Not that I know of. In fact, you reached out to the local paper that morning. I don't know what time.
Well, Scotty, funny that I know and you don't. We were told that the newspaper got the story at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was such a wild story They were afraid to print it. They thought, wait, some landowner is calling here to say Cheney shot a guy, and she expects us to put this newspaper's reputation on the line and print that as a fact? They printed this at 1:48 Texas time, a good 12 minutes short of 6 hours later. And Scotty said, well, no, of course this had nothing to do with the Sunday morning news cycle. Of course not. She gave it out Sunday morning. But nobody's going to print an unsubstantiated story that Cheney shot a guy without some kind of proof. The newspaper got this call from the lady at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I suppose they started calling the local police department and saying, what do you know about this? Can we get a copy of the report? Who was there? What happened? What time? What day? Who was hurt? Who pulled the trigger? I'm sure they got in it like a professional reporter is supposed to do. But Scotty is lying once again. Eckley had nothing to do with the Sunday talk shows because the stuff clearly came out at 2 o'clock. Even Wolf the Whore is off there at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
All right, let's go to new subjects.
One last question on the subject, Scott.
Ivan, go ahead. You got the floor.
Much of the free world is concerned about nuclear weapons from North Korea.
We're going to break away from this live media conference there, and the White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan really getting a grilling from reporters.
Oh, stop your sighing, baby. And be happy again.
Alan. I've been thinking about something.
What's that?
I want you to kill me.
The scotch and cigars and nightly consumption of red meat have that well in hand.
No. I'm serious. I don't fear death. I never have. But I am afraid of being hooked up to a machine. All those tubes, brain, mush. Would you like to live like that?
No. If it came to that, my friend, I would pull your plug.
Pull a plug? What kind of a death is that? I want you to shoot me.
Shoot you?
Danny Crane is not going to be turned off like a hairdryer. Live by the gun, you die by the gun.
I'm not going to shoot you.
Why not? I'd shoot you.
Danny, you've been a lawyer in this town for 40 years. I'm sure there are plenty of people who'd willingly shoot you.
Well, I don't want to be shot by a stranger. I want to be shot by someone who cares for me.
The answer is no.
You Democrat protesting wars, banning guns. If you Nancys had your way, nobody would ever shoot anybody. And then where would we be?
Where would we be?
I do want to talk a little bit before the show begins tonight with two things. One, a correction. One, an update. Last night we reported on the program that the Vice President of the United States had shot a man. 78-year-old man, Harry Whittington, in the face because he thought the man was a bird. I would very much like to correct that. Apparently, the man was shot pretty much from here all the way up to the face. Sprayed, so if we gave you the impression that literally just like, no, it was really. The other is an update. Unfortunately, earlier today, the bird shot that the vice president had used to shoot the man actually lodged in the man's body. The bird shot lodged in his body and actually went into his heart and caused him to suffer a minor heart attack. Mr. Whittington is doing fine. But based on this development, we're going to downgrade the condition of the story from incredibly hilarious to still funny, but a little sad. Unfortunately, if he does die, the whole thing goes Brechtian. Now, obviously, the Cheney story is dominating the headlines. So how would Scott McClellan open today's White House press conference?
Making sure that we continue to keep America open to free and fair trade and looking at energy issues as well. That's all I've got to begin with, so I'll be glad to go to your questions.
Yes, please, I'd be happy to take any of your Ha ha ha! funny, but with a hint of melancholy. But McClellan's stalling only worked for so long.
At the time on Sunday morning, did you learn that Vice President Dick Cheney was the shooter?
When did you learn Vice President Cheney was the shooter? You know, let me just take a moment here, if I could.
Sunday morning, did you learn that Vice President Dick Cheney was the shooter?
No, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Colby, don't let all this celebrity news fool you right now. All this stuff going on in the news is just a trick to get your mind off the war. That's all it is. It's a trick to get your mind off the war. Okay? I think Bush sent that girl to Colby's room. Bush sent that girl to Colby's room. Bush sent that little boy to Michael Jackson's house. Bush killed Lacey Peterson. Bush was fucking Paris Hilton in that video. All to get your mind off the war. But Bush lied to me. They all lied to me. They're like, we got to go to Iraq because they're the most dangerous country on earth. They're the most dangerous regime in the world. If they're so dangerous, how come it only took 2 weeks to take over the whole fucking country? Shit. You couldn't take over Baltimore in 2 weeks.
Was there a deliberate attempt to quash the news that Vice President Dick Cheney shot and injured a man on Saturday?
Doesn't find out for 21 hours. Now that's the recipe for an uproar. Feeding frenzy.
Why did it take so long for the story to come out?
18 hours later.
Why did they wait so long?
22 hours.
24 hours. Almost 24 hours. 24 hours.
Will Mr. Cheney resign?
You know, before the program, Alan Coulter, who is our announcer, came up to me in the hallway, and I've asked him not to do that. But he did anyway. And he said, Dave, if you have a minute, I have some thoughts about this Dick Cheney hunting accident. And I said, well, sure, we have some time. Alan, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, DL. Well, the world was stunned this weekend by the news Vice President Cheney shot and killed a fellow hunter. With Cheney pleading guilty to manslaughter, our vice president is going away for a long time. Which brings us to you, Mrs. Cheney. How many nights have you laid there longing for passion, but knowing your husband's fat and crusted heart couldn't stand the excitement? Mrs. Cheney? Lynn. I must confess, I've been doing a little illegal spying of my own. You? In the tub? Alan likes. Big time. Mrs. Cheney, I will enter your underground bunker. And the two of us will do the sort of freaky stuff that would make Fatso's heart explode. Your husband may fancy himself an oil man, but it is you, my dear, who will witness my gusher.
Everybody thought this was a great story, and now it turns out that the guy that got shot, this 78-year-old attorney, and that's going to be expensive, either way you look at it. And my motto has always been, if you shoot an attorney, you better kill him.
Issue 3, Jack and George.
I frankly don't even remember having my picture taken with the guy. I don't know him.
welcome Vicente Fox and Al Sharpton.
I'm outraged to suggest that black people in this country are only fit for the lowest paying and most demeaning work is an insult. Mr. Fox has still not apologized for this unequivocal insult, and I will not let this issue go away until he does.
I can assure you, Mr. Sharpton, my choice of words was unfortunate. I was in no way wishing to cause insult to you or to the blacks of America. I have the highest regard for blacks. And for what I have said, I am very, very sorry.
Apology accepted.
I have never for one minute thought that the difference between a black guy and a pizza is that a pizza can feed a family of four. This offends me.
Again, I accept your apology, and I feel that this matter is resolved.
I too feel the matter is resolved. I am not a racist.
And I'm glad to hear you say that. I must say, not being a racist myself, I have never believed a Mexican and a cue ball are the same. Just because the harder you hit them, the more English they pick up.
Can't you see it's a massive government conspiracy? Or have they gotten to you, too?
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com.
Well, there you had it. Bart Cop Radio show number 89 is in the can. We did the best we could. We had some of it done beforehand. Then we had to make do with this Bart phone technology. Next radio show, number 90, is going to be the big one. We've gone to great expense. Not really. He's flying Southwest. We're shipping Tommy Mac in this weekend. He's going to fix every hum in the house. He's going to fix every bad sound. He's going to fix all the hollow business. We're going to the Guitar Center. We're going to line the old studio here with the thing that killed Great White. So we're really looking forward to that. Thanks to the subscribers. Thanks for you listeners. Thanks for you readers. Thanks for the people who dropped the occasional check in the mail, because that does not belong to Caesar. This is Bart. Next time you hear from me, hopefully, I'll still have that weasel voice, but it'll be much clearer. Bart out.
I went out walking through streets paved with gold. Lifted some stones, saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul. I went out walking under an atomic sky, where the ground won't turn and the rain it burns like the tears when I said goodbye. Yeah, I went with nothing, nothing but the thought of you. I went wandering. Through the capitals of tin, where men can't walk or freely talk, and sons turn their fathers in. I stopped outside a church house where the citizens like to sit. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in. I the thought of